Chapter 3. Yeah, I don't know. I told him when he starts talking, everybody knows he's not from around here. But if you didn't get this, they can feed, they got 70 kids, and they can feed them a small meal they can for $1,500. He said, like, if they get more than that, you know, like for $2,500, they can feed them more. But that's for the whole year. Now that, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot here, but then you got to remember, like, say some of the people, they make $50 a month is what they make for a salary, you know, and some of them don't make that much. So what we do is tonight he's going to talk some more about it, and we might be able to take up a love offering tonight. But if you want to help out Dennis, if you want to help him out with any financial contribution, this is what we do. We normally don't do it this way, but this is what we're going to do today. If you want to give him a check when you're leaving for any amount of money, make it out to Valley View Baptist Church, but give it to him, okay? Give it to him, because what we're going to, sending money over to Africa is not an option. If they see the people at the post office, if they see any mailing with the United States on it, they steal it. They're going to open the letter, take the money. The best thing we can do is give Dennis a check. If you give them to him, put Valley View Baptist Church on it. We'll just take them down and cash them at the bank, and he can just take the cash back with him into the country. It's a lot easier to operate right there. But the biggest concern that he has every year is trying to get enough money to feed the kids, 70 kids, throughout the course of the year. Because a lot of them, if they don't feed them at the school, they're not going to have anything to eat when they go home. They don't have any food when they go home, or very little food. So if you want to help out Dennis at the end, today, if you're not coming back tonight, or you can help out, or even if you want to do it this morning, if you make a check out to Valley View Baptist Church, but just hand it to him on the way out. We'll go to the bank tomorrow. He's going to be leaving Tuesday. I got to take him to the bus, and they're going to ride the bus up to New York. And but he's got all that squared away. But all the money will be used for the food to feed the kids. In John chapter 3, look there this morning, and I got an odd title for my message, but I thought it would catch your eye. John chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray we do realize how blessed we are in the country we live in. Lord, we know we're not perfect, far from it. And Lord, our country has a lot of spiritual needs, living in a lot of spiritual darkness even at this time. Lord, you have blessed us, Lord, but unfortunately so many people have not given you thanks and credit for those blessings. Lord, I pray that we not be guilty of the same. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts here this morning. Lord, in whatever need we have in a spiritual sense, Lord, you'll meet that need. Pray for that one that may be here lost or not sure about their salvation, Lord, that they'll see their need today, calling on your name before it is eternally too late. And ask it all and thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Cockroaches Come Out at Night. Cockroaches Come Out at Night. I don't know if you've ever been around there. I don't have any now, but when I was younger and I first moved away from home, lived in Falls Church, Virginia, and lived in an apartment. I mean, they were all right apartments, but, you know, apartments are prone to having those things. And I used to hate them, man. You get up in the middle of the night, and if you turned on the kitchen light, invariably there'd be cockroaches on the counter and on the wall, and, of course, they would scatter. I finally left the light on in the kitchen some, but they finally got used to the light, and they would still come out anyway if nobody was moving around in there. Got to where I hated them so bad I would dream about them aggravating things. And thankfully, don't have to deal with that now. But you know where I'm coming from if you ever seen those things. In our text today, it says that men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And, I thought about that, and it's not that men necessarily love darkness or love darkness for its own sake, but they love darkness because of what it hides. And when you think about society as a whole and things that go on, the dimly lit nightclubs, the deeds that are done on the dark street corner, the back alleys, burglaries, things that are committed, all operating under the cover of darkness, we understand that. Now, there's a spiritual picture connected with the physical side of darkness. And, you know, I think here on the spiritual side of things, we can be in a well-lit room. You could be here today in a well-lit room and still be in the dark spiritually. Spiritually, you could still hate the light, the gospel light, because the gospel, it's what reveals that we need God, you know, that we're inherently or born, lost. We're sinners, and that we don't like to find that out. We don't like to hear anything negative about our own self. I can remember going out and going out with the Bible, and I'd get out of the car with my tie on, and I had a Bible in my hand, see somebody sitting all comfortable on their front porch with their feet propped up on the railing. They'd look out there and see you with that tie and that Bible. Buddy, they had run in the door, run in the house, shut the door. One guy did it, and I went up there, and I was laughing to myself. I guess I shouldn't have done that. You know, sometimes I get in the flesh. I was knocking on the door. I kept banging on the door. I knew the guy was in there. I saw him run in there, and I kept banging on the door, and I was laughing. I said, the guys, he would not come to the door. Scared to death because he saw somebody carrying a Bible. Because what's the Bible going to do? It's just going to, it shows us that we're not perfect, that we're lost, that we're sinners, and that, we need Jesus Christ. I mean, it's the answer to the problem. But, people don't want to know what the answer is, and so they run from that. From the close of Malachi, the Old Testament, to the New Testament time, there was a long period of spiritual darkness. That in our world history, that was the medieval times. And you ever watch those movies on TV, the medieval times? It seems like it was always cloudy. It was always in the winter. It was always snowing, But that was a good picture spiritually. It was a dead, cold time, spiritually speaking. And the reason is this, is because they say that the darkest hour is just before dawn. And I believe that's true. And what it was God made the world a very dark place for a period of time, so that when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and right before that was John the Baptist, and there was the forerunner to Christ, He was coming on the earth, coming on the scene, and He wanted a bright light so that the world would say, would see that light and be drawn to the light. We're living in a dark hour now. And I believe that we're on the brink of the Lord's return. We're certainly closer today than we were yesterday. And so the Lord's going to come back. And I think it's getting spiritually dark there for a reason as well. The same reason, so that when Christ returns, that men will see that light. The very first point, sometimes I get my points alliterated, and I didn't today, but just sometimes you spend more time thinking about that than you do the message. But I just wanted to get to this. Artificial illumination. When you start thinking about men, the Bible says the men love darkness. Well, if men love darkness, what about the lights that we've been? What about the street light? Why do we put street lights out and men invented light and we wanted light? And I thought about this. In this physical sense, and even in the spiritual sense, we like light sometimes. We like light sometimes. Sometimes you want it dark, sometimes you want it light. But what it is we want light that we can control. We can flick the light on when we want it on, and we can turn the light off when we don't want it on. And we make lights, we make bright lights. You're trying to attract somebody, an attraction, so to speak. We got the carnival and the carnival rides, and they put all the lights on them, and they get them all lit up, and the more lights they have, out in Las Vegas, you see on television, everything's all lit up. They got lights, and there's more evil deeds going on there than in any one city. Well, I don't know if there's more or not, but there's a lot of them going on there in one place. And so we want to manipulate it. We like the bright spotlight when we've done something good. We like somebody shine a spotlight on us. We can say, look at me, our entertainers. If you got a clown act or the juggling act or the singer or somebody you want to illuminate what they're doing, they put a spotlight on it. And we like that too. Our human nature, we like, but the spotlight's on me. Look at me. I got a big floodlight on here. Maybe I'll get Daryl, instead of doing all this, he'll get a floodlight. He can shine down here on the pulpit, right? Shine a light on us. We like that. But see then, but when our deeds are evil, we want to turn the lights off. Huh? Let's wait till night. We don't want anybody to see it. And you know, when the makeup's off, kind of a female reference there, but when we don't want anybody to see us when the makeup's off. I started to say that's a female reference. I guess in this day and time it would apply either way. We don't want us to see that. And we don't want our innermost thoughts revealed. I'd asked the church one time before, just imagine if we took everybody's name, a special Sunday, it'll be your day. And your picture will come up over here, and then everything that you ever thought about, like all week maybe, or all month, comes up on the screen right there. You wouldn't want that to happen, but you know that reveals how really our lost nature is. Spiritually speaking, you know, some people don't mind a little bit of the gospel light. Spiritually speaking, as long as you're preaching about love, huh? You know they like that. They like, everybody likes that. You know, they don't mind a little preaching about the love of Christ or those nursery rhyme topics of the Bible, the Bible stories. But, you know, we don't want to hear any preaching about condemnation or repentance or judgment or hell. Or how about even the holiness of God? That's not a hot topic today. The holiness of God, righteousness, or how about living just a separated life from the world out there? People don't like. So, you know, we don't mind a little spiritual light either, as long as we can kind of flick it on and off. You know, some people probably maybe listen to it on the radio, because if you don't like what the preacher's got to say, you can, just turn the radio off. Here, I guess you could just leave. But, you know, some people think, well, I don't want to make a scene, so they don't do it. But you know what? You can turn me off and still say any seat, right? I mean, you can turn a preacher off and still say any seat. We want to control it. Little bit of light received, either physically or spiritually as well. We want to be in control of that light. The second point this, though, but you know what? We can also get used to the dark. You can get used to the dark. And I think this is even a problem in the church today. Have you ever noticed when you first go in a dark room or when you first turn the lights out, you ever walk in off a bright, sunny street and got in a real dark place? You can't see. I mean, man, it's like you're bumping into things and holding on. But if you stay in there long enough, what happens? Your eyes start getting used to the dark. And your brain thinks, you kind of can think this if you're not careful, you'll start thinking that it's actually getting lighter in there. When it's actually not gotten any lighter in there at all, it's just as dark as it always was, but you think it's lighter. And you know what? You kind of get used to it. And then, you know, when you first went in, you might have said something like this, boy, this is bad. But then after you stay in there just a little bit longer, you say, eh, it's not that bad. Huh? You getting a spiritual picture here? Huh? You get out there in a wicked world. We live in a wicked world, and this applies to the Christian too in the church. You get in this wicked world and you start living in it long enough and you don't really start seeing how bad things are. And you know what? You've gotten used to the dark and you say, eh, it's not that bad. My eyes have kind of got adjusted to the world that I'm living in today. You know, today, I mean, just the definition of sin. There's stuff that's the government's passing laws that says it's okay now, and there's sin. But I remember in my time, I remember when people, I mean, there was always sinners, don't get me wrong. I remember when, actually, this is going to come to a shock to some of you younger people. People used to hide it. Yeah, they used to hide their sin. All the men would get together at the family picnic, and they'd all be looking at each other, and they'd slip down behind the barn, and the guy'd break out that little jar with the clear stuff in it. Or they'd sneak out back, and they'd smoke. And now what? People just walk around in public? I mean, just, you know, and Ezra, listen, this, I probably should have preached this 30 years ago, because that's pretty mild compared to what's going on in the world we live in today. There's, you know, what we, and there's, listen, with God, there's no big little sin and all that, but in our human sense, and so this will apply. You know, there's some really what we would call, used to call, big sins that are now accepted lifestyles that are just accepted life. What happened? What's happened is we've stayed in the dark so long that we've gotten used to it. And now it doesn't seem as dark. But it's just as dark to God. Amen. As it ever was. You know, we kind of live, you know, that little half light when you can't make things out. right there at dusk or dawn when things, you know, you're not quite sure. I get up in the morning early there, and right there at daylight, I look out in the woods to see if I see anything out there in the woods, and sometimes you can't quite make it out. I'll get my binoculars and look and see, and I can kind of tell if I'm looking at what I'm looking at. That's the kind of a spiritual state, unfortunately, that the church even today is living in. Not quite able to make it out. So what happens is we've become desensitized to the evil that in the world that we live in. And little by little, it's appeared to be made less evil. Can you imagine if somebody came back to life from, say, the 1800s, and they came into the world today? Or they came in even to the church today? They'd probably look around at us and think, good night, what has happened? What has happened? I mean, they look at the world today, they would have a heart attack looking at what's going on in the world today. Now, the bywords of today are words like acceptance, tolerance, coexistence. We've taken sin and changed the names a little bit. Instead of adultery, it's called having an affair. Instead of homosexuality, it's called gay. We took a night. You can't use the word gay used to mean happy. I told at Christmas time, I kind of cringe now when we sing Don We Now Our Gay Apparel. I mean, I'm not putting on no gay apparel. Not, you know, a whole different outlook. Light on that. Listen, gay, it's wrecked that word. We tell just a little white lie, like, as opposed to what? You know, like, that's better. You know, we change it so it sounds better, but it's not better. You know, it's just as dark as it always was. And look at the things that flood our brain today when you think about it. People ask me all the time, you watch the news? No, I don't watch the news. I watch ESPN news, and that's probably getting as bad as the regular news. Because what's on, you know, when we look at the newspaper and we look at the news, what's on there? Crime, violence, sex, or sex and violence. That's all you read about. And if you look at all that stuff, that's all you talk about. Boy, did you hear about what happened so-and-so? Boy, it was just terrible. I mean, we talk about it in a good way. We'll say, you know, somebody got killed, raped, kidnapped, you know, murdered somehow. We talk about it, oh, it's just awful, it's just awful. But the problem is, you get desensitized to that. When I used to work in up near Washington, D.C., I mean, I grew up in Virginia Beach. I mean, at the time when I grew up, Virginia Beach was kind of a sleepy little town. It wasn't that big, really. You go to Washington, D.C., I've never seen a homeless person laying on the street. I saw a guy laying on the street, and he had newspapers for a blanket. I'd never seen it before. I was riding with a bunch of guys from the area. I said, look at that guy. Pull over. We got to go help the guy. They laughed at me. I said, man, get it, you know, get out. We're not going to help the guy. They were just used to seeing it. And guess what? After I lived in Washington, D.C. 4, 5, 6 years, I got used to seeing it too. I just got used to seeing that. It was so different. And people would get murdered. They'd have, like, murder when I was a kid was front page news. On the front page newspaper. Five, six people get murdered in Washington, D.C. every weekend. And it was just a little article about this big, had all five of them in the same article. And the article's only about five people found dead, you know. Police looking into it. Wasn't even news. Desensitized. You know, it's you get so used to that. We flood in our brain with it, and at the same time, it causes us to be desensitized to that. But we hear it, see it, talk about evil 24 hours a day, and then there's the sad part, we accept that. We learn to live with it. We've gotten used to being in the dark. You know, Lot, we studied Lot in our Sunday school class here a month ago or so. The Bible says Lot was a righteous man. And we talked about this during Sunday school at that time. Lot went down into Sodom to live with his family. And you're thinking, how in the world did he go down there? Why would you? And I used to think that about Washington, D.C. I would sit there, there'd be like drug deals going on. People would walk by me with sweatpants on and a pistol hanging out of the side of it. And they're dealing dope. And, you know, I worked around it all the time. I got used to it. Needles laying in the gutter. You know, prostitutes all over the place in the city and drug deals going on. I mean, it was just like, and I lived out in the country. It was like culture shock every day. I went out there. But I used to think I'd see them people living in the inner city of Washington, D.C. I said, man, if I had to raise my family, my kids were small, I said, I would get me a tent and I would go out and I would just go from campground to campground and live in a campground if I had to raise my family in Washington, D.C. And you look at Lot in the Bible, Lot, and it said he was a righteous man, and it said the wickedness vexed his soul every day. But he didn't move out of Sodom. He didn't move out of Sodom. And you know how he got there? We talked about it. You know, Lot got a little bit. He lives kind of close to the city. And he maybe went there once a week just to get his goods. And I'll just speculate, and the Bible doesn't say this. And he went there and he got his goods just once a week. And then, you know, the next thing you know, he had to go like two times a week. And he said, well, you know, let's move a little bit closer because I got to travel back and forth to town so much. And he moved a little bit closer. And then it got to be where he was probably going every day. And he probably looked at his wife one day and said, hey, why don't we just move into town because we're there all the time anyway. Let's just go in. I know it's wicked, but we'll be all right. And Lot was supposed to be a shining light in a dark place in Sodom. Guess what? He wasn't a light in Sodom. No. Sodom was darkness to him. He lost his testimony. He lost his family. The angels had to about drag his family out of Sodom when they came to destroy the city. He just got used to the dark. You say, how did he live there in that wicked place? He got used to it. He got used to it. There's false light as well. As I said, man does like certain types of light. And the cults, they thrive on that concept. And they can come along with a lie, and it appears to be light, but in reality, it's more darkness. It's just more darkness, and men love it. There's even false light of Christianity when you get off the main thing. You know, there's all kind of things that are done in the name of God, and you know, you can get sidetracked on them. Sometimes you hear about missions. Oh, it's a medical mission trip, or it's a building mission trip. You're going to go fix houses. And listen, they're all good and right and good things, and you can do that, and I'm not against that at all. But I am if it's to the exclusion of the gospel. And that happens sometimes in church. They just get on that, and they don't give them the gospel. And so I'm you know, we can get sidetracked there. And then, you know, we've got to the day, you know, we can program the emotional experiences. I read recently where one guy said one of the biggest problems in Christianity today, biggest problem in churches today, is the absence of the Holy Spirit of God. Where we're not, you know, we don't have to depend on being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because we can go up here and we can get up here and somebody can give a testimony and I can get Daryl to play some weepy little song, or I can get the piano player to give a little song and you know, and I can generate some emotion with you, right? I can get all happy and clappy and you guys will get all happy and clappy too. I can cry and you can cry. You know, we got air conditioning. It's like we got a light switch for the whole, you know, the replacement for the Holy Spirit. We'll flip on the emotional experience and turn it off. And that gets to be a problem. But you know what? We don't even realize. Remember Samson? The Bible says that he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. He thought he was just going to be as strong as he was. He wasn't. And that's what happened a lot of times in Christianity and churches today. The Holy Spirit's departed and the people don't even realize it. Huh? Yeah, amen. It happens. So and what happens when that takes place? We're still in the dark. Here's the light of Christ as well. Verse 19 said, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In the original, that word condemnation, the original word is crisis. This is the crisis. The coming of Christ precipitated a crisis, and his return will as well. And, you know, when you think about believing Christ, why don't people believe in Christ? It's not an intellectual problem. It's a sin problem. Men, they don't reject Christ because they can't believe. They reject Christ because they love their sin. I've heard people, man, I've tried to witness people, and you know, you try to get them to come to church, and, oh, you know, I'm not going down there, it's a bunch of hypocrites, and I'm not doing this, and all these excuses they get. You know what? I've found this after pastoring for 19 years, I've found this out. People give, there's reasons and excuses, and very seldom the reasons and excuses match. They give you the excuses while they're not coming, but that's not the reason. The reason is they just want to live in their sin, and they don't want to get any conviction about that. And so therefore, they don't want to have anything to do with God, the church, or, you know, the Word of God. They don't want to read the Word of God or hear the Word of God. Amen? The light shines in the Savior. In John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. The light shines in the Scriptures. In Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shines in the saints. In Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. Listen, there's light. There's no reason for men not to have the light. But once again, that reason in verse 20 is given, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Charlie Brown Christmas special, that's one of my favorite ones. If you watch it without the advertisements, it's only like 20 minutes long. But I got it on CD, that's how come I know. Remember, there's one little Charlie Brown goes up to Lucy and he says, you know, I don't know what my problem is. And she says, well, maybe you got, and she starts naming all these phobias off. Remember this? And Charlie goes, nah, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. And finally she names off this one and said, it's the fear of everything. And he said, that's it. But there's a phobia here. It's called photophobia. You know what photophobia is? I don't know if Lucy mentions it. It's fear of light. It's the fear of light. And that's why when you turn the switch on, the cockroaches run all over the place. They don't like the light. If you turn a rock over to all the bugs that are underneath, they scramble for cover because the light gets on them. And you know what? But the problem is men do not realize their sinfulness until they face the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel. Some people, one preacher said this, said some people live all week in the dark and then they come to church and they're squinting. They come to church because they're squinting, because they hear the truth, they hear the gospel truth, and their eyes aren't used to it because they lived in sin all week long. And then there's the light of the saints right there. The Bible tells us to let our light shine. You know, we're not supposed to put our light under a bushel, nor hide it inside the church walls either. You know, listen, Christians are guilty of this. You got your light on in here, but you got to have your light on out there. You know, we got the gospel in here. We understand that, but we're supposed to take it out in the world. And so we can hide within the church walls as well. And today, that buzzword, that offensive word of being offending, so many Christians are worried about being offensive that they're not effective. The light is going to be troublesome to some folks. You know, the Apostle Paul, he caused some riots wherever he went. And I'm going to tell you one thing. He shook some places up too. He even shook up a jail at midnight with a Philippian jailer down in there with the gospel light. The Bible says the whole place shook and the door came open. I mean, man, it's going to shake some folks up. Yeah, it will. It will. But he was a light in a dungeon. Man, that Philippian jailer got saved. His whole family got saved with him. We're not supposed to get used to the dark. We're supposed to be a light in the dark. The Bible tells us not to have communion, as a matter of fact, with darkness. I'm going to say this in closing. You know, the wicked, they love darkness because they want to continue in their evil undisturbed. But when a man, you know, every once in a while, somebody, when you shine a light, somebody sees themselves for what they really are. You know, we're such, human nature speaking now, don't take this the wrong way. We're such good liars that we can lie to ourselves. Then we deceive ourselves. But every now and then you have to get honest with yourself. And when a man will get honest with himself in light of the gospel, you know, and say, yeah, I see. Every now and then somebody does. Buddy, that's what the light's for. Amen. You know, Jesus, I mean, there's conviction and God wants us to see the condemnation of sin, but he didn't put the light on us just to expose us and so he can sit around and laugh at us. Look, Jesus Christ put the light on us in the gospel light so that we can see that we have a need and we can call on Jesus Christ to come into our life, to save us. Man, salvation, I mean, that's what it's all about. And every now and then somebody says, you know what, I'm lost. I see myself for what I really am, but I'm going to the light. I'll use this illustration. I've used it years ago for the people that went here for a long time, but it's something that happened in my life and it was a great illustration. You know, I like to go hunting. And back in the day, man, nowadays, you know, we got backpacks and GPSs and flashlights and clocks and cell phones. I know you young people don't even know about this, but it's before we had them. And back in those days, I didn't carry a backpack or nothing. Didn't even have a watch half time. I didn't know what time it was. I'd go out and hunt all day. And I had the little Ever-Ready workhorse flashlight, 2 AA batteries in that thing. Wasn't, you know, had about as much firepower as Baltimore Orioles pitching staff about now, I guess. But I had it in my pocket. I had it in my back pocket. Didn't even have a pack. Had it in there and I set up there. My brother-in-law had seen this bear way up in the mountains there by these rocks. He said, yeah, I was up there by the rocks. So I went up there and sat out there all day long. It was getting kind of dark, getting sort of toward, I was going to stay just a few more minutes. I was way up there and I pulled my flashlight out and sometime during the course of the day, the button had gone on. And it had burned like all day in my pocket, so it looked like a match right after you blow it out. It had that little orange glow on the end of the bulb. Man, I started making tracks for the bottom of the mountain. I was scattering gear all the way down through there, man. I was going through the laurel thicket just walking. Usually you try to sneak around real quiet. was going down the mountain. And my brother-in-law said, look, I'll meet, there was this rock. He said, I'll meet you at the rock. Meet you at the rock. Isn't that kind of a great illustration? Meet you at the rock. It's a big rock we always sat on. It was about as big as this area right here. We would stop right there. It was on a point of a ridge coming down. I'll meet you at the rock. I said, all right. I was heading for the rock, buddy. It's getting darker by the minute, man. And he heard me. He said, man, I heard this big racket coming down through there. And he started shining his light. What direction do you think I went? Huh? Oh, I was so glad. It was like, you know, I had this fear that was gripping my heart. I just thought I'd be wandering around the mountain all night long. Didn't have a match or nothing. And I saw that light and it was like, yes, man, thank you, God. And man, I went right for the light. He asked me, what happened to your light? I said, man, here it is, it's out. But that spiritual picture, you know, I was lost. I wasn't lost, but I would have been if it had got dark, because I got lost on that ridge one time when I had a working flashlight in the dark. And I went to the light. And that's the whole purpose of the light. Jesus Christ and the gospel is so that, yeah, the light does reveal what we are. And you know, I don't know about you, I tell people like this, like the Bible is referenced to as a mirror. I don't know about you, but if I look in the mirror in the morning before I'm coming to church and I grin and all there's a big old hunk of bacon or something on my teeth, I get it. I fix it, right? You look in the mirror, ladies, or even the men, those of you who got hair, you look in the mirror and everything's all messed up. What do? You fix it, right? I mean, that's what I would do. That's why you look in a mirror, to see if everything looks good. Some of you are going, mirror with it. You look in the mirror. Okay, that's what the Word of God is for. It's great. Listen, we got a loving God. He shows us what the problem is, but He gave us a solution to the problem. His name is Jesus Christ. And we got the gospel light word right here. And then you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. And I'm telling you what, everybody that sincerely does that, He does it. Huh? You know, sometimes we get backslidden on God, man. You know what? He said our word still convicts our hearts. Thank God. Thank God for conviction. A lot of people don't like it. They get mad about it. But I'm going to tell you what, the conviction, that's just God telling us that He loves us and we can still do something about it. Because I'm going to tell you what, the day the conviction ceases, trouble. God might be done dealing with you. God might be done dealing with you. There's conviction, man. That's a sign that God's still dealing with you right there. So I don't know what your needs are today, if God spoke to you hard about anything. If you need salvation, listen, that's why Jesus died. Amen. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. But it's not effective for you until you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, come into your life. If you need to do that, you come. We have an invitation.